You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome to the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world and all over the country. My name is Kirk Barrett, and I'm the CEO of ACT Dental Practice Coaching, and I have a huge treat for you, two of my dear friends in this great world of education, and you are going to absolutely love this. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. You're gonna enjoy this more than anything, and it presents an awesome opportunity for your dental practice right now more than ever. And a couple show notes before we get started. We are shooting this live on Facebook and YouTube and LinkedIn and Twitter and everywhere else. So feel free to join us and subscribe at the Best Practices Show on Facebook, and you'll be updated on all the live shows that we have coming forward. Over 37,000 followers on Facebook, over 90,000 downloads on the Best Practices Show iTunes, and over 35,000 of you subscribed to the COVID Relief Dental Conference, which we are, we're gonna be here every step of the way, just giving you the best education in the world from the best thinkers. And today is no exception. I have my good friends, and I'm gonna start with this, one of the best books. If you haven't read this book yet, is the Beat the Heart Attack Gene. And it is a phenomenal book, an incredible one that you can add to your whole arsenal of information, and just it's just incredible. And today I've got the authors on here, Dr. Brad Bale and Amy Donin. So thank you guys for joining us today. I really appreciate it. So
thank you, Kirk.
All right. Thanks, Kirk. Glad to be here.
And I've had you guys on the show before, and you know how this works. But, and I saw you guys at Hinman last year. I was so excited to be with you guys. But one of the things I always like to do is start here. If people, you know, we've got a lot of young dentists now that are following, and if they haven't heard about you, haven't heard about your book, or haven't met you, I want them to know your story and know who you guys are, where you came from, all that. And then we're going to talk about the red flags, warnings, signs. So who wants to tell the story of the
bill? I'll let Dr. Donin start that.
Okay. All right. So you want me to start?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I'll start, and then you can fill in the blanks. But I'll start kind of with our journey together about 20 years ago. And we've been at this together for a long time, looking at arterial disease through the lens of inflammation and early disease detection. Along the journey, we've learned a lot and continue to do so, and we fine-tuned our message to the point that we really realize that it is a collaborative effort with almost all specialties in medicine and dentistry to make sure our patients live a life free of cardiovascular disease events, which are the big ones like heart attack and stroke, obviously, but our big focus is continuing to be on the microvessel side of the story. So what we're so excited about as we move forward is the idea that the bale donide method also has an impact on protecting the small vessels. So the things that cause diseases of aging, such as end-stage renal disease, things like memory loss, diseases of the eyes, and even peripheral vascular disease. And what we've learned also is that we can't do this without our dental colleagues, because anything that can drive vascular inflammation is important. And our dental colleagues are key in that because of what we've learned with periodontal pathogens, the high risk ones, mm-hmm. and also endodontic lesions as well. So I'll kind of let Brad take it from there, but that's why we have the honor to be on the show with you, Kirk, is that we feel that dental experts and oral health specialists are key members of the healthcare team to prevent both macrovascular and microvascular disease. So I'll kind of bat it over to Brad at this point.
No, excellent job. Yeah, we have known for some time it's actually inflammation that drives the formation of arterial disease and then triggers the actual events. And we learned from Dr. Tom Neighbors a decade ago just how important the high-risk periodontal pathogens are in driving that inflammation. They can actually start the trapping of the cholesterol particles in the wall of the artery, and then they inflame the inside lining, the endothelium, and just promote more and more formation of disease. And they can inflame things enough that if you have the disease, it can rupture through that inside lining, and that causes a blood clot, and that is the cause of symptomatic heart attacks and strokes. And as Dr. Donine stated, that's what our objective was when we started, and that's the title of the book, Beat the Heart Attack Gene. We really wanted to prevent those symptomatic heart attacks and strokes. But what we've realized after doing this for 20 years, the best benefit of our method was even unknown to us until relatively recently. But it's now known that those symptomatic events, the majority of events are asymptomatic. Mm-hmm. They're silent. And they end up causing the teeny tiny vessels, the arterioles and the capillaries, to get damaged. And that leads to that microvascular disease, which, as Amy stated, those are the diseases of aging. The dementia, Alzheimer's, heart failure, kidney failure, and for men, erectile dysfunction as well, mm-hmm. peripheral arterial disease. Those are the diseases that rob us of our health as we continue to age. And right now, the disparity between how long you live and how long you maintain your health is 13 years.
Wow.
And people doing our method, that's not the case. They're going to maintain health, and we all want to maintain our health, our quality of life, until our time comes to an end. Yeah. And that's what's available by doing our method. But it's only possible by extinguishing the fire. And one of the greatest causes of fire is oral disease.
Yeah. Well, what's so exciting about this and getting to know you guys is for years we've said it could be, it might be possibly linked. And now with your help, we have great research to show it is linked. You know, so dental professionals for years used to look into the mouth and say, look, and what's really cool more now than ever is that, you know, there are practices that fix teeth and there are practices that change lives. You guys provide such great research, and I truly believe that what you're talking about is going to be one of the most important topics we ever face in dentistry. And dentistry's growing. And we had you out last year for our mastery conference, and I couldn't believe how many people had been through your preceptorship program that were dentists. And so I want you to talk about why this is so important now, and even before the pandemic, but now even during the pandemic. Like, tell us about that.
All right, go ahead, Dr. Delaney.
we'll kind of bat it that way. I think I'll start, and then you pick up the pieces. But as Dr. Bale said, we believe so strongly, we don't believe it, the science has taught us that inflammation is the driver of both vascular disease development and that disease misbehaving, whether it causes microvessel disease or macrovessel disease. About 3 years ago, we published a paper proving causality of the high-risk periodontal pathogens through the lens of what's called the atherogenic triad. So we were able to take a deep dive into the literature and articulate how high-risk periodontal pathogens can affect the disease development within the artery wall and actually create that first step, which is the trapping of the lipoproteins within the artery, show vulnerability of the endothelium, and even believe it or not, increase the most dangerous lipid particles, are called ApoB, in the bloodstream. So with that research, we were able to, for the first time, demonstrate causality with high-risk periodontal pathogens and atherosclerosis. So at that point, we realized we absolutely have to have oral health specialists on our healthcare team. And Kirk, to your point, right now with the tremendous issue we all face, which is a COVID-19, understanding that COVID-19 is part of sort of the coronavirus umbrella, and understanding the true risk of COVID-19 is the human's response to the virus, which is incredibly inflammatory through certain pathways. And so we realize that our patients come to us because they have risk. They fit the demographic that's at the highest risk, usually over age 60, atherosclerosis in the arteries, some sort of autoimmune component to that, maybe periodontal disease, atherosclerosis, lipids, cholesterol, blood pressure, etc. And so what we've learned is that if we can affect those pathways that are firing back to cause arterial damage, we have the opportunity to blunt that response to the virus, hopefully allowing people to live a life of health and wellness. Because this virus attacks the most vulnerable vessels, which are the small ones, the arterioles, and basically attacks the endothelial wall of the artery. Wow. So I'll let Brad take it from there.
No, that's great. Yeah, we just published a paper actually in Medical Hypothesis stating that the common denominator of people who are perishing from COVID-19 is microvascular disease. And that starts with microvascular disease in the pulmonary tract, which is frequently silent until there's some horrible event where it becomes obvious. But when you have that type of disease, you can't mount an effective immune response. And then the increased heart attack, the increased stroke they're seeing with COVID-19, it's all due to what? Inflammation, right? Arterial disease and microvascular disease. So our patients that we're actively treating have extinguished fire. So even though they theoretically have higher risk, because a lot of them have had heart attacks or strokes by the time they've seen us, they're going into this in a very stable form because they're not inflamed, and we've helped prevent further microvascular disease. And the medications and therapies that we use help keep that inflammation away. So these patients are much safer.
Yeah.
And we don't know of any of our patients who have perished from COVID-19.
Yeah.
But again, a healthy mouth is critical. If you don't have a healthy mouth and you get COVID-19, you're in trouble.
For sure.
It's going to drive inflammation.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's more exciting than that is now, as a dental professional and as a team, there's a lot of warning signs in which you can truly save patients' lives. I've had at least two dentists say to me, just because of your research, you specifically might have saved their lives. One of them that actually drove to see you and came back and thought I had my arms around this, and I don't. So take us through what we can do. If I'm a young dentist watching this today, like, how can I incorporate, how can I start thinking about this? What are the warning signs? Because you guys said this in a pre-call, no matter, this pandemic is terrible. It's been a horrible impact on our economy, but no matter what happens, it'll never trump the deaths that will still be ahead as far as heart attack and stroke, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So take us through, as a dental professional, you know, when we talk about warning signs, what do you typically, what's the thinking behind it? How should I prepare my team, and what should we be looking for?
do you want me to start as well?
Yeah.
Good routine. So Kirk, I think you're kind of getting to the idea of red flags. Is that correct?
What
are
sure. some
of the red flags? The first thing that we feel very passionate about is that we all realize that as humans, we are vulnerable to the disease of atherosclerosis. It has been the leading cause of death and disability for decades. And we haven't been able yet to make a lot of headway on that, unfortunately, with the current paradigm of traditional cardiology practice. So with the idea that it's all about inflammation, we with a team of collaborative providers must first realize we've got to point the mirror at ourselves, and we have to think, gosh, do I have risk? And I say this specifically to our dental colleagues, because knowing where to start is knowing what to look for, even amongst yourself and as you see a patient for their routine dental exam, perhaps. And we call that whole concept red flags. And we spend a whole chapter in the book talking about it. We spend an hour of our course talking about it. But Kirk, red flags are not causal to our knowledge. Red flags just show an association. So I'll give you a couple, and then Brad can take some as well. But if you're a dentist, let's just make it personal, and you notice that you have a diagonal earlobe crease, it's called Frank's sign, and you'll see it very clearly. And when you work with a patient, you'll see this diagonal earlobe crease. It's actually called Frank's sign, and people who have Frank's sign have a 78% increased risk through their lifetime of having cardiovascular disease. So that might be a very easy lead-in question to that patient. Hey, have you had your cholesterol checked? What's your family history? Let's talk about how oral health affects the vessels, etc. There are a lot more. One other is just male pattern baldness, which can happen in women as well, whether it be frontal parietal or crown top baldness. Each have independent increased risk. If you've got frontal baldness, you're looking at about a 13% increased risk of having heart disease in your lifetime. If it's a crown top, about 40%. So I'll kind of leave it there and let Brad take some of those as well, because it's very, very interesting. And one other I'll say, and he can elaborate on it, is what is typically known to be white coat hypertension. A lot of our dental colleagues say, you know, we struggle with getting the medical world to realize that hypertension within the dental practice is a big deal. And so white coat hypertension, as it's labeled, places people at a twofold increased risk, even if their blood pressure is normal in all of their settings. So I'll leave it there and have Dr. Bell take it from there.
No, that's great. Yeah, three of those red flags, the first three she talked about, I'm the model for the slides that we have on those. I have all of them.
Yeah. So, and I'm right behind you.
Frank's.
Yeah, but what if you've never had hair? I've never had hair. Would I fit in that category? No.
Oh, you're good then.
All right.
So having those red flags doesn't mean you need to be afraid. I'm not afraid at all. I've never had a heart attack. Evaluate your arteries for inflammation and fire. And obviously, I've got a great dentist too. Mm-hmm. Dr. Tom Neighbor's young son is my dentist, and we evaluate for those high-risk periodontal pathogens, of course, and keep them at bay. So that's critical as well. And the endodontic disease is important too. So, but those red flags do help let you alert you that, well, I better take this seriously. A couple of others are the Fordyce granules, which hygienists and dentists are going to be looking for all the time. And when you see a lot of those Fordyce granules, there's a higher likelihood that patient has hyperlipidemia, which of course predisposes people for increased risk of arterial disease. So those people should be evaluated. And the white coat hypertension is real. We know from the studies that if you have white coat hypertension over a 10-year span of time, the likelihood is you're going to develop significant real hypertension, right, and have increased risk. So any blood pressure greater than 120 or greater than 80 on the diastolic should alert the healthcare provider in the dental office that this patient needs to be aware of that. They could have higher cardiovascular risk and they should be checking their blood pressure at home.
Right.
And find out for sure what it is. And if they can get a 24-hour monitor, that's even better.
Right.
But the red flags are real. Everybody can have risk for cardiovascular disease. That's why it's the biggest cause of death and disability. So we all need to take care of ourselves.
Right. And it's so important because a lot of these markers, you know, you guys do so much analysis. I have a friend of mine who came back because he's a great patient of yours. He's like, every time I get blood drawn, the people that draw my blood are like, are you okay? And he's like, no, I'm just sending my blood to the best doctors ever. But he also shared with me, like, you can see a lot of things that we normally can't see. And Dr. Bale, you told the story about a patient who was in Mexico, and you're like, I don't even need to look at a whole lot. There's something going on that's really bad in the mouth. And I think the important lesson here is that there's so much information, and this is all so interconnected, and people aren't getting any healthier. It's not like patients are coming into our dental offices and they're like, wow, there's no perio, there's no nothing. It's exacerbated by stress. We've got mental health issues now. We've got a lot of things going on. And now more than ever, we're positioned, especially the dental community, to really be great heroes. And this is a wonderful opportunity. If you're a young dentist, you've got to read this book and get involved in this. And I do want to talk about the dental community that's growing, because when I first met you guys, I thought, well, this is only for medical doctors in the medical community, but you've seen a huge surge in dental communities and professionals. Agree?
Agree. I want to give a quick example of exactly what you were talking about, and then say why the community of dental providers has grown to about 50% of our profile, which we feel is a real blessing. As an example, yesterday I saw a patient who I saw about 3 months ago, and she was showing with our inflammatory markers, Kirk, they're not skewed by life necessarily. They really have sort of an independent, they're players in the disease process. So in this particular woman, she started to develop an escalating what's called myeloperoxidase. And going over everything that I knew how to treat as far as her lipids, blood pressure, sugars, everything, stress, sleep, all the things that I deal with and I feel very confident in treating, I knew for a fact she probably had an endodontic lesion by the way that myeloperoxidase was escalating. So I called her dentist and the dentist said, yeah, absolutely. She was just here, but I'll see her again. So sent her back and she saw the dentist. And again, they said it was fine. I said, do you have a 3D scanner in your office? And she said, no, we have a 2D. And I said, well, can you please get a 3D, for which she referred. And this individual had two periapical abscesses.
Wow.
And I just saw her yesterday and that myeloperoxidase is shooting down. And in light, as I told this patient, in light of COVID-19 right now, a lot of patients are coming to me, and I know to Brad as well, saying, was it safe to go to the dentist? Mm-hmm. And I say, absolutely, it's safe to go to the dentist. And absolutely, it's a critical time that you get in and maintain your regular recall visits, because we need to control everything we can from an inflammatory standpoint. Just like now is not the time to be late on your meds or to not sleep well and all of that. Absolutely, our patients who have vascular risk must be into their dental offices now, and we encourage the safety of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And when you, are there any other warning signs or any other thinking processes that you would encourage the dental communities just to pay more attention to? Anything that comes to mind?
I'll just shout this out and then I want Brad to take it. But I just think what they need to be aware of is that they're critical. It's not like there's a volunteerism of like, well, I think I have a role in this. The science absolutely demands that without the oral health specialists on the team of the vascular medical providers, that patient is not going to have a good vascular life. It's a critical, critical component. And what I try to strive to make all of my dental colleagues know here, and as Brad and I teach the course, is that their work is essential. That's the most powerful thing I can say. Without dental providers, patients are not going to allow their health span to match their lifespan. It's a critical component of vascular health.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing I'd like to add to that too, Kirk, is there's a real paucity still
and the research being done with periodontal disease and cardiovascular disease because they still are basing it on the exam. How deep is a pocket? How much bleeding? How loose is a tooth? All that's important, of course. But what's real important, what bugs are causing that periodontal exam to be abnormal? It's the high-risk pathogens that drive the risk, and dentists need to be on board with cutting-edge science. Mm-hmm. We can determine that with salivary diagnostics now, DNA testing.
Right.
So when we're collaborating with a dental practice, we have to know what bugs are there.
Mm-hmm.
We're interested in the exam, of course, you can't ignore that. But what's even more important are the bugs. And the science needs to migrate to that sophisticated level as well. Right. It really is pathetic that a lot of the researchers, they're still not measuring the pathogens. That's what drives the risk.
Right.
That's what needs to be remeasured to make sure they're eradicated. That's more important than, well, now the pocket went from a 5 to a 4. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the germs that matter.
Yeah, absolutely. And with people living longer, you know, and so many more stressful things coming our way, it's so important to be equipped with the right information. Now, the one thing there's many things I love about your book, because I've read it 2 times, is it's not just for the dental professional. This is something that a spouse can pick up. My wife, who loves dental education, she loved it when she had a chance to read it. But this is research that almost anyone can use at any level. Would you agree? More so than just clinical findings and, you know, reassuring us on the systemic link.
Yeah, I mean, in regards to the book, we wrote that book for the public at a level with arming the public and whoever reads it with the science. Each statement, each thought, each scientific revelation is backed by the studies that suggest that, and it's all in the book. So our goal is that we teach this as we learn it in a way that's absorbable to all demographics. And people come to the table with different levels of sophistication and knowledge. And with that, they can apply it to areas of their own world. I always say, start with your kitchen table, start with your family, start talking about this.
Right.
And as far as one other thing I do want to say is that we need a common language, and Brad brought this up so beautifully, and that is, we live and die by clinical laboratory data. We're trying to identify something we hope our patients never feel. And so when we see some of these inflammatory markers go up, immediately we realize there's something in your body causing inflammation, and we look at everything. Oral health is not more important or less important than the other things that can cause inflammation. So having dentistry start talking about clinical laboratory findings is allowing us to have that common language of communication, which is critical as we move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys are already getting ready to write another book and publish. You publish papers every single month. But tell us what we can expect in the future. Like, where's your energy going in the future? And what are you thinking as far as, you know, the future of the research that you guys are going to be providing?
I'll let Brad take that one. It's exciting. Yeah, super exciting.
Yeah, well, Amy and I both alluded to it earlier. What's really exciting is
the prevention of microvascular disease. The macro, the conduit artery disease, has had all the attention for years because that's where you can intervene. You know, that's what an angiogram looks at. But the reality is it only accounts for 5% of the blood flow to the heart. All the arteries they look at with an angiogram, 5% of the blood flow to the heart, 95% of it's coming through those microvessels. And it's now being recognized how predominant that disease is and how horrible and subtle it is. It goes on silently for years until you wake up one day and you don't know where you are.
Right.
Or your heart's failing, or you can't get erections anymore, or your kidneys are failing. And like I say, so what we're so excited about now is the realization, after doing this for 20 years, we've observed our patients don't get those problems.
Yeah.
There's only one reason they don't, because we halt and regress arterial disease. We've known that, proven that in the big arteries. But it's obvious we're also doing it in the small arteries.
Right.
And that's what that new book that's going to be published by Little Brown, you know, the oldest publishing house in the United States, we were quite honored when they wanted us to write another book. So it's going to be exciting, and that'll be emphasized a lot in that book.
Yeah. And all too often we're surprised that we lose really good people who were like, no, they didn't fit the profile, but you guys have done such a great job of helping us understand why that can happen, because we often think that the typical villains in this aren't, you know, there's other things. And, you know, we'll probably leave a little bit for, but cat in the gutter is a phrase that we use all the time now, because that's the dangerous plaque that kind of jumps up on us. But often people don't fit the classic category of a stroke or heart attack, and yet they have them, and sometimes they even have them at younger ages than we would ever imagine. So this research is tremendous, not only from a prevention standpoint, but just from an energy standpoint about how I just think dental professionals can change the world and create new energy in their practice, not only for their patients, but for themselves. Now, I want to talk about a couple things. Number one, if you haven't read the book, you have to read the book, and we'll post a link to the book. But you guys also have been doing a lot of education, even in the midst of COVID. You're still producing great education. And you guys, I want you to talk about your preceptorship program. And we are going to have a special offer for our community. Eventually, we're going to hold back the details until we have it all set. But just tell us what you're doing for the dental community with your preceptorship program and all of this, and also where people can find more information when it comes to the Bale Dineen method.
Sure. So we've been doing a preceptorship program for a long time. And that preceptorship program is open to everybody. You don't have to have a certain degree behind your name to be welcomed to the preceptorship program. Right now it's a 16-hour CME and CE certified program that welcomes all. And the program encompasses the entire Bale Dineen method, Kirk, which is really important. And so it's not just about oral health. It's not just about lipids. It's not just about finding disease. It puts all the pieces together, because we want people to leave with an absorption of where it all fits and why we all have a role in this. To your point with COVID, in April, we gave preceptorship virtually, which was really fun and really different. But what it's allowed, Kirk, is to us to have a online virtual preceptorship program that's current and relevant, and we've never had that before. And you and your team have been gracious enough to say, hey, we want to get this to all of our team members and beyond. So I'll let you kind of take that. But our website, just if people are interested in more information, is just simple as Bale, B-A-L-E, Doneen, D-O-N-E-E-N.com.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to encourage people to check that out. And I always like to end with a couple good last thoughts, just good words or good things to think about in the future. What would you tell dental professionals watching this right now that maybe have a good career in front of them as far as where to think, where to go, and what they can expect?
Yeah, I'll go first on this one. I think if they want to demonstrate to their patients that they're on board with cutting edge science, they need to be incorporating the material that we talk about in our course and our book. They need to be doing objective testing for pathogens in the mouth. And they need to be aware of the endodontic threat as well, and the value of the biomarkers that indicate inflammation of the artery. And they also need to realize that their hygienists, they're saving lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, the hygienists are the ones that go in and take care of that periodontal disease. So the dentist should be proud to be a dentist who's on board with how valuable that type of care is and to support it. But they need to realize that hygienist is critical, and they're the ones going in there saving the lives. And the rest of the team also needs to be on board. Everybody in that dental office, from the receptionist on, needs to be proud of what they're providing to the community. And they need to be aware, we're cutting edge. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with the oral systemic connection. We want our patients to remain healthy throughout their life, for however long that is. The quality of life needs to be maintained. And if you've got a chance at that, you better have a healthy mouth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Amy, any last words or any thoughts?
I'll just add to that and say that's excellent. And I also will say to new dentists coming up and new hygienists coming up, patients are savvy. Patients want to be well, and patients are well-read. And so patients come into any clinical setting wanting to be offered the most advanced technologies. We always caution medical professionals and dental professionals to don't use the insurance company as your default scientific filter of what has merit or not. Offer the patients the information that is objective, scientifically grounded, and offer them the chance to live a life of complete health. And patients may or may not choose to take you up on that, but it's our job to offer it to them. So in order to do that and have confidence with that, dental professionals and medical professionals need to understand the science well enough that they have a confidence to share it with their patients. And that's what our preceptorship course does.
Yeah, and so we're going to save the details for that, but you'll see that in the next 2 weeks for sure on the preceptorship program, and I'm going to highly encourage you to get involved with it. It is amazing. I love these guys. If you have ever seen them speak, ever, or if you're looking for a great speaker, period, for your study clubs, you have to get these two, and they will just change the way you think and change people's lives and save a lot of lives in the whole process. So I really appreciate you guys being on. We're going to have you guys back again and again and again. I don't know if I'll be able to get both of you on, but I'm extra grateful that I was able to get two rock stars in one type of show. So check it out. And so if you don't have the book, make sure you get the book, Beat the Heart Attack Gene. Read it more than once. You'll absolutely love it. It'll change the way you think and hopefully save a lot of lives around you. Also, keep sending us suggestions for shows that you guys want to see. We get a ton of them, and I know you guys have been all over us to produce some more informative things, and we're just re-gearing and re-energizing everything for the future. If you enjoyed today, which I hope you did, do us a favor, just hit the share button, share this with your friends, and until we see you next time, hope you guys keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.